out at ESPN. It's Buster Olney. How you doing, Buster?
I'm doing great, guys. How crazy was that last night? That game, that ninth inning was wild. You talk about intense.
Buster, I got to ask you, I saw you in the locker room. How in the world did you come out of that thing dry with everything flying around?
I got crushed. I wasn't dry at all. I was soaked through.
Well, when I saw...
And I've told you guys that the drive home after situations like that is very scary because you're thinking if you get stopped by the cops, what are you going to say? You're completely saturated with alcohol, and part of me would almost be fascinated to be stopped because imagine how lame that excuse would sound.
Well, it must have been early in the process when I saw you walk by the camera because your hair was perfect.
Believe me, it was gone by the end of the night. I got absolutely destroyed. In fact, when I got home at 1:30, at the back of my head, it was actually still soaking wet from champagne. I was standing next to Chris Sale, and somebody, blasted him, and I got hit right in the eyes in the middle of a question. And there's nothing you can do when you get hit with champagne in the eyes except for just wait for the burning to pass. And Chris looks at me and goes, "You signed up for this." I know.
How do you not have your own goggles? You should have your own goggles.
Really?
Okay, here's the deal with the goggles. I've seen a couple of reporters do that, and I can't imagine anything more weaselly. First off, because you feel like going, dude, you're not on the team. Okay, you're not part of that. And you come off like the local news anchor who's like wearing a team jersey. Stop. You're not on the team. I don't know if you guys agree with me, but stop it.
Hey, Buster, before we go back to baseball, I got to ask you about the tweet we sent you this weekend in which Randolph Union High School came in second in the first ever Vermont State Bass Fishing Championships.
Bravo.
What'd you think of that?
You know what? As someone who rediscovered my love for fishing last summer, I was very excited. I had no idea that they had a fishing team, but it sounds like something that folks in Randolph would excel at.
I love it. Hey, Buster, right off, I asked Field this question. All right, I'm not going to tell you what he said.
That's Field Yates, in case you didn't know any other fields.
Well, in case you didn't know that, Field Yates. But I'm not going to tell you what he said. We have a dilemma on Sunday. What should we air? Because they're both at the same time. Game 2, Astros, Red Sox, or Kansas City taking on the Patriots here in New England. I'm not going to tell you what Field said, but what do you think we should air?
Who are the Patriots? Is that like a militia force or something?
Wow.
I don't even know any Patriots you're referring to. What is that?
Well, Field said you got to run football. Of course you do.
Yeah, well, Field's young and inexperienced, and he doesn't know how important baseball is to New England. I'm just kidding. He's a great dude, by the way. You guys have gotten a feel for that.
Yeah.
Look, to me, it's the playoffs. Who cares about a game against Kansas City? Whatever, with a quarterback who never does anything but throw touchdowns.
Yeah.
Buster, I suppose we could talk about the game. We could talk all night about the game. But of all the interesting things that happened last night at the stadium, what was the most interesting storyline to you?
Wow, and I'm sorry, but I just can't pick one. That ninth inning was absolutely crazy because you guys have seen Kimbrel pitch.
Yeah.
I was standing, I was in the runway because I did post-game interviews, so you're getting ready to run on the field and do the interviews, and so you're standing this side. You don't have a great view, but I'm watching the pitches that Kimbrel's throwing. You're like, oh, my God, he has one of those things. He kind of gets the yips, and he kind of starts to lose it, and you're watching it, and you're like, this would be like one of the all-time postseason meltdowns.
Ugh.
And so after the game, to talk to Christian Vasquez and J.D. Martinez and others, and they're telling stories about how J.D. Martinez was telling the story about how they're down in the runway and they're changing seats, down in the batting cages because you've got to find a good luck seat. But from pitch to pitch, they're shifting it up because they're trying to figure out a way to get through that ninth inning. You talk about tense. And there's no question, Alex Cora, amazing job in that series with the moves that he made, how everything worked out. And there's also no question, and both, Alex Cora, Aaron Boone, I consider them both to be friends. I worked with Boone on Sunday Night Baseball for a couple of years. So happy for him that he got that job. The last 2 days, I thought he did a bad job. I thought he made poor choices. It just felt like he was so slow to react. Without a sense of urgency to what was going on. I was surprised after what happened in Game 3 that he was not much more aggressive with his moves with the bullpen last night.
Oh, yeah, Cora made good moves. You should have heard us what we said when we found out that Holt and Devers weren't going to be in the lineup for Game 4. We had a few things to say about that,
you
though, Buster.
You killed him probably, right?
Oh, yes, we did. I mean, I'm like, the end for the cycle. What are you putting this guy on the bench for?
How about the fact, this one is the one that, a couple things were interesting. One, Rick Porcello, about 6 weeks ago, I had a conversation with him. He's going on and on and on about how great Sandy Leon is his catcher, and he wouldn't have anybody else, and just loves him, and he was complimenting him. He wasn't criticizing Christian Vasquez, but then you see that Christian Vasquez is out. Sandy Leon is out of the lineup, and Christian Vasquez is the catcher. He didn't catch him for one inning the entire season. So you thought, wow, that's a surprise. But then he explains to us, he called Porcello after Game 3, and Porcello said, okay. And then Christian Vasquez hits a homer, and they win. And then before the game yesterday, he kind of had a twinkle in his eye. He goes, he said the skinny guy wants to pitch out of the bullpen. And he's talking about Sale, and he said, under certain circumstances, I might do it. And obviously the circumstances were that they had a decent-sized lead of 3 or 4 runs, and they saw the jugular, and they had a chance to finish off the Yankees. I thought that's what Alex did so well in that series. He managed to win that minute, that pitch, that inning, whereas I think Aaron just didn't do that as well.
Buster Olney, ESPN MLB Insider, with us here on the Huddle, 101.3 The Game. Buster, I guess I got two questions about Chris Sale. Number one, on how he was used, I had no problem with him coming out and throwing one inning because I didn't think one inning was going to mess up his chance to start in a possible Game 5 on Thursday. But I started to wonder. Rick Porcello threw 2/3 of an inning on Friday, and they pushed him back a full day for his start to Game 4. So they're clearly conscientious of guys doing that. But Sale, it was going to have no effect on? Is that really right?
He would have started. I don't think that's why they backed up Porcello, though. I think they backed up Porcello because they were keeping open the option of using him in relief.
Okay.
In Game 3. I'm a little apples and oranges with the two situations. I will tell you, I interviewed Alex in an equipment room after last night's game, and he said that when they were talking about it, he was concerned about Sale's health. So I do think that even though they were committed to pitching Sale last night and they wound up using him, I think Alex was a little bit more squeamish about Sale than he was Porcello because of the shoulder issues that Chris had down the stretch. But he would have started in Game 5. In fact, it was very interesting. When I talked to Christian Vasquez after the game last night, he's thinking as that ninth inning is going on, his thought was, oh, my God, who's going to start Game 5 for us because Sale has pitched?
Buster, the other thing, you mentioned Chris Sale's health. That's where I was going with next. I wouldn't be shocked if at the end of the year we find out there's something going on there. I don't know how serious it is, but he hits 96 yesterday, and that's great, but 13 pitches, 9 changeups and sliders. It feels like he's protecting something. Are you getting that vibe too?
I do think there's something there. The fact that his velocity dropped from 98 to 90 tells me that there is something going on in there. The pitch selection, for me, is not as much of an indication because I think that's more about him reading the hitters and their adrenaline in the moment. In other words, because you see veteran pitchers will do that. They'll go off speed in October because they know the hitters are all hyped up and they're trying to do damage and they feel the pressure to do damage. I look at more of the velocity reading as something's going on. And Sale said a couple things. He was like, I'm all in. I'm committed to this. I'm doing whatever I can to pitch. And that tells me, just that phrase right there, tells me he might be, and this is pure speculation on my part, painkillers, whatever he needs to do in order to take the mound, and which tells me he's working through some stuff. I agree with you on that. Mm.
Buster, over to the Yankees. What's their number one need in the offseason?
For me, it's a starting pitcher, and it's fascinating to me how so many executives around baseball take it almost as a fait accompli that they're going to sign Patrick Corbin, who's going to be one of the best available free agents with the Arizona Diamondbacks. He grew up in upstate New York. He comes from a family of Red Sox fans. He did an interview with the New York Times in the spring when he talked about how cool it would be to pitch for the Yankees at some point. I think especially now that the Yankees went under the luxury tax threshold and sort of reset on that, they're going to be aggressive this winter. I also fully expect that they're going to revisit conversations with the Giants once the Giants hire a new head of baseball ops about Madison Bumgarner. He would be absolutely perfect for them right now. Look, it's funny. When you look at their team, they don't have these big glaring needs. It's an excellent group of young players. In fact, you know, set in terms of which team is set up from here going forward, put this postseason aside, no question Yankees are rather than the Red Sox because of some difficult choices coming up for Boston.
You know, Buster, CeCe had some interesting words about Angel Hernandez, obviously, yep, the umpire, and so did some other players, especially the game before when there was like four or five. You know, there were some bang-bang calls there. My question to you is, nobody knows baseball better than you. Would you be a good umpire? What do you think if you had the up? Would you be a good ump or what?
Oh, I've done it. I umpired Randolph Little League, and I was terrible. In fact, I remember, although I would say this, I'll never forget this.
Yeah.
I'm umpiring, you know, probably making $5-$10 a game, and a pitcher had a no-hitter in the sixth inning. And I called a ball on a pitch, and the parents were all over me. What a kind of a call. And the catcher stood up, and this always stuck with me. The catcher stood up and said, "It was a ball. It was outside. Shut up." And he yelled at the parents of guys who were rooting for his team. And I always appreciated that kid. I would have been absolutely terrible at it. I would say this, that coincidentally, after the game, I was doing TV stuff last night, and all the umpires come out on the field, and I know those guys pretty well, some of them, and I haven't spent a lot of time talking to Angel Hernandez. He walks up to me, and I say, "Angel, I can't imagine the pressure you must have felt going into that game." And he acknowledged that because he had had the missed calls the night before, and you could tell he was really feeling it, how much pressure he was under. I thought he was fine last night, and I think that, yes, what CeCe said about the players feeling like Angel shouldn't be umpiring, he's right. A lot of players feel that way. I thought last night it wasn't an issue, and I didn't. And I think CeCe took it upon himself. You know what? I'll take the bullet. I'll be the guy to say out loud what a lot of players feel, that he shouldn't be umpiring. Last night, it had nothing to do with the outcome of that game.
Yeah,
Buster, looking forward here, Sox and Houston, what are you thinking towards that matchup?
Well, okay, let's put all, you know, full disclosure, full context. I picked the Indians to win the World Series.
Me too.
Wrong with that.
Yep.
I picked the Yankees to win the series against the Red Sox in four.
I thought you picked the Blue Jays.
Yeah. So I have no credibility when it comes to this. So you should keep that in mind. Right. I look at the two teams, where they are, where David Price is, you know, the relative strengths, the rotations, and the bullpens. I think the Astros are going to win the series, and I think their pitching staff right now is so much better suited than the Red Sox staff. But I gave you what all the times have been wrong.
Hey, we took Houston.
Buster, are the Astros flying under the radar a bit? 103 wins. I mean, Alex Bregman's all ticked off because they're playing these afternoon games against Cleveland. They seem to have a chip on their shoulder.
They do have a chip on the shoulder. I would say this, though, that Alex Bregman absolutely has been drinking from the Dustin Pedroia fountain since he was about 9 years old, okay? And Dustin's always, you know, someone who's always trying to find something. It was Dustin Pedroia who mentioned Alex Cora, "Hey, did you see the video of Judge rolling along with New York out of Fenway?"
Yes.
And you know, it's actually a cool backstory. Alex Bregman was a bat boy for University of New Mexico. He's 8, 9, 10 years old, and they're playing another team. And he notices a guy on the other team go diving into first base in a time in the ninth inning when the score was 15-1, as he remembers it. And afterward, he's driving home with his dad, and his dad said, "You'll always remember that your whole life, that that guy cared that much about getting a hit." That player diving into first base was Dustin Pedroia.
Oh,
and
wow.
Alex Bregman, and he was playing for the for Arizona State. Alex Bregman never forgot that. Dustin is like his hero in life. And so when Alex said that the other night, "Hey, we should be prime time," that's classic Dustin. And Alex Bregman is using that moment, you know, to create a chip on his shoulder. I think those guys do feel disrespected that they're not prime time. And you guys, and I know it's all about the size of the city, it's about the size of the market,
right.
It's all about the rating size. It's got nothing to do with lack of respect for the Astros, but they'll use it.
Buster, I'll get you out of here on this. I read a fascinating thing, by the way, on the Brewers today, that they have like the lowest pitchers' velocities of any team, their starters at least, not the bullpen. And it's amazing what they've accomplished as a starting staff. That said, do you think they can beat the Dodgers?
Absolutely. And I think that they remind me a lot of the 2015 Royals. You know, basically a mediocre starting rotation. You know, guys like Edinson Volquez, who was fine. And they had a dominant bullpen. The Cleveland Indians in 2016, after Carlos Carrasco got hurt, after Trevor Bauer had his drone incident, you know, the Indians didn't have much in the way of a rotation. They had Corey Kluber and a bunch of relievers, and they got to Game 7 of the World Series. I absolutely think the Brewers can navigate their way through. The one thing I am curious about, they fully acknowledge that Josh Hader needs rest. He's not someone who can just roll out, you know, Game 3 and then Game 4 and then Game 5 without losing stuff, and they really do work to protect him. And so it'll be interesting to see how Craig Counsell handles that.
Wow, good stuff, Buster. Always love having you on. We may send you some goggles anyway, so we may go ahead and do that.
And again, congratulations.
You know what? I'll always take Vermont ski goggles. Yes. Absolutely. Yeah.
And again, congratulations, the Randolph Galloping Ghosts, on your second place finish.
Yes.
Absolutely. The only thing that could have been better is that if there's somebody from Randolph Center, not Randolph, who was on that team.
Whoops.
Buster, take care. Have a great weekend. We'll speak to you next week.
See you guys.